So this morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, reading from the Madhya Lila, chapter number 12, entitled The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. Today we're reading from text number 24 and then 25. So I'll read 24 by myself and then 25 we'll do responsively. Shishi Radha Gokula Ananda Ki Jai. Paramartha Thakuka Loke Karibe Nindan Loke Rahu Damodar Karibe Bhartsana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, what to speak of spiritual advancement? All the people will blaspheme me. And what to speak of all the people, Damodar would chastise me. Maybe some context is required. So, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, as you all know, is the life story of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's considered the final word because this biography written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami combines all of the philosophical conclusions and weaves it into the story of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. And so at every step we're learning about what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does, but we're also learning very, very deep and profound lessons. In this particular episode, what's happening is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to Jagannath Puri. He comes to Jagannath Puri as a very special place because Puri is the place of separation. Krishna has big eyes. He's completely stunned because as Jagannath, Krishna is feeling deep separation from Srimati Radharani. God also can experience this very, very deep, profound emotions of love. And so he becomes stunned. And this image of Krishna in his complete ecstasy of being in separation from Radharani is installed in Puri. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrives in this place, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is he? He is Krishna, but he is coming in the Radha Bhav. So as Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that Bhav is feeling great separation from Krishna. So therefore Jagannath Puri is a very explosive place, because what happens is Krishna, who is in separation from Srimati Radharani, comes face to face with Radharani, who's in separation from Krishna. And therefore, when these two personalities encounter each other, then incredible things happen. So Jagannath Puri is a very, very special place, a very, very confidential place. And in Jagannath Puri, there's a king, and the king's name is Prataparudra. And he knows all of these things. He knows the identity of Mahaprabhu. And therefore he is dying to meet him, literally dying to meet him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not ready to see him, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but he's taken the role of a devotee. And specifically he's taken the role of a sannyasi. And for sannyasis who have left all of concerns of the material world behind, to again be mixing with people who are very much of the material world is considered not the right thing to do. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not ready to meet Prataparudra. But all the devotees want Prataparudra to get the opportunity because they know he's a great devotee. Yes, he's a king. Yes, he's a person of the world. Yes, he has so many responsibilities. But those are all just roles. Behind all of that, he's a beggar. He's a sincere soul who really wants to serve and love Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all the devotees are vouching on his behalf. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very concerned about public opinion. Nowadays in the world, everyone's got an opinion about everything. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows, loka vichar, as soon as I do something, everyone will look. Everyone will say something. Everyone will conjecture so many things from my activities. And therefore, if I do something which is even a little bit suspicious, then immediately people will jump on me like anything. And specifically, Mahaprabhu is saying there's one devotee, and I love him, but he'll also speak out against me, and he'll criticize me, and his name is Damodar Pandit. Damodar Pandit is a great devotee. He loves Mahaprabhu. But Damodar Pandit cannot, bear to see Mahaprabhu criticized. And therefore, although he loves Mahaprabhu, he's ready to even criticize Mahaprabhu if he thinks he's doing anything which will cause anyone to have a doubt in him. And therefore, Damodar Pandit is very, very straightforward, and he'll tell Mahaprabhu as it is. So Damodar Pandit is an incredible character, because on one side he's a lover of Mahaprabhu, he's pure. But what we're going to read about is how there's something to learn from him, which is very beneficial, and there's something to learn from him that we shouldn't do also. So simultaneous things are there. So now Mahaprabhu, he's saying, how can I meet Pratyaparudra? Damodar Pandit will criticize me because he doesn't want me to be defamed in the world. So you can repeat after me. Tomar sabar agyayami namili rajare. Oh, sorry. Is it there? Next one. Yes, that's the one. Toma sabara gyayami na mili rajare. Damodara kohe yabe mili tabetanre. Toma sabara gyayami na mili rajare. Damodara kohe yabe mili tabetanre. Toma sabara gyayami na mili rajare. Damodara kohe jabe mili tabe tanre.
Toma sabara gyayami na mili rajare.
Toma sabara gyayami na mili rajare. Jare
Tomasabar,
of all of you, Agyai, by the order, Ami, I, Na, not, Mili, shall meet, Rajare, the king. Damodar, Damodar Pandit, Kohe, says, Jabe, when, Mili, I shall meet, Tabe, then, Tanre, him. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, I shall not meet the king at the request of all the devotees, but I shall do so if Damodar will give his permission. purport. From the spiritual point of view, a sannyasi is strictly forbidden to see materialistic people, especially a king who is always engaged in counting pounds, shillings, and pence. Indeed, the meeting between a sannyasi and a king is always considered abominable. A sannyasi is always subjected to public criticism, and a small fault on his part is taken seriously by the public. People actually expect a sannyasi to preach and not take part in any social or political matters. If a sannyasi is subject to public criticism, his preaching will not be fruitful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically wanted to avoid such criticism so that his preaching work would not be hampered. It so happened that while the Lord was talking to his disciples at that time, the devotee Damodar Pandit was present. This Damodar Pandit was a very faithful devotee and a staunch lover of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whenever there was anything that might touch or taint the character of the Lord, Damodar Pandit would immediately point it out, not even considering the exalted position of the Lord. It is sometimes said that fools rush in where angels dare not. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out Damodar Pandit's foolishness in coming forward to criticize the Lord. This is why the Lord stated that if Damodar Pandit would give him permission, he would go to see the king. There was deep meaning in this statement, for it is a warning that Damodar Pandit should not dare criticize the Lord anymore, for it was not befitting his position as a devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was considered the guide and spiritual master of all the devotees living with him. Damodar Pandit was one of them, and the Lord rendered Damodar Pandit a special favor by warning him to avoid criticizing him any further. A devotee or disciple should never attempt to criticize the Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this chapter will say something very, very heavy. Shukla vastre mashi bindu yache lan lukai sanyasira alpa chidra sarva loka gai. Mahaprabhu will say that the life of a renunciate, a sannyasi, a spiritual leader, shukla vastra, is like a white cloth. And if there's mashi bindu, even one black spot, sanyasira alpa chidra, even a small fault on a part of someone who's playing the part of a spiritual leader, sarva loka gai, the whole world will talk about it. So Damodar Pandit, he wants to protect Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from that. So every time, and on multiple occasions, he sees that there's any chance that Mahaprabhu does something that someone may misconstrue, then without the flick of an eyelid, he's ready to go and tell Mahaprabhu directly. Now, is he right in doing this or wrong? What do you think? Phone a friend. Damodar Pandit loves Mahaprabhu. But remember, Mahaprabhu is his spiritual senior. He's a brahmachari. Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi. He's the disciple. Mahaprabhu is the guru. He's a jiva. Mahaprabhu is God. But when Damodar Pandit sees that Mahaprabhu does something that someone may criticize, he feels the need to tell Mahaprabhu, you're doing something wrong. People will criticize you. Is Damodar Pandit doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Put your hands up if you think he's right. Put your hands up if you think he's wrong. And everyone else is confused. The very interesting thing is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the verses of Kaviraj Goswami and the purports of Srila Prabhupada,
Damodar Pandit is perhaps one of the most mystical characters because he's glorified and criticized at the same time. Actually, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, yes, he's right. A sannyasi is subject to public criticism and therefore he's right in pointing this out. But then, at the very next statement, in the very next purport, Srila Prabhupada will say he's wrong because it's not his position and he's being impudent and he's trying to find fault in someone who's his superior. So it's very interesting, both things are there. And therefore, when we look at Damodar Pandit's life and the way he interacts with Mahaprabhu, we learn two lessons simultaneously. The first lesson is that every single devotee must be above suspicion. But the second thing we learn is that every single devotee, when it comes to others, should be free from suspicion. When it comes to ourselves, we should be very, very strong. We should be very, very careful. We should be very, very attentive in how we conduct our affairs so that nobody will be able to criticize. But when it comes to others, we should be very, very careful before casting a judgment or casting an opinion on someone else, because we may transgress, misunderstand, and even if we are understanding, we may act in such a way as to not help the situation. And so, both things are there in the life of Damodar Pandit. Let's deal with the first one first. A devotee must be above all kinds of suspicion. Integrity is perhaps the most difficult and also the most powerful quality that a devotee can imbue in their life. The thing that gives people the biggest faith in Krishna consciousness is the very same thing that gives people the biggest doubt. And that is the character of a devotee. We became attracted to Krishna consciousness because we saw incredible personalities who lived with purity. But then later on, if we ever come across examples where we feel that purity has been compromised, then that is what also simultaneously creates the greatest doubt. It's incredible. People don't join a movement and people don't leave a movement. People join people and people leave people. And so the integrity of a devotee is extremely, extremely important. And what does integrity mean? Integrity is related to the word integrated. And what that really means is that one's words, one's mind, and one's activities are all integrated. Padma Purana tells how you can actually understand who is a Mahatma. Vachasyekam manasyekam karmanyekam mahatmana. Vachas anyad manasyanyad karman anyad durattaman. How do you know who is a Mahatma? Vachasyekam manasyekam karmanyekam. Their mind, their words, and their activities are all integrated in one direction. In other words, if you were to take the life of a devotee, their private life, their personal life, and their public life, and you were to video all three lives and play them side by side, you would see the same person. This is how you know who's a great soul. A great soul is not just someone who externally performs sadhana, but they are integrated in every single aspect of their being. This is what convinced people about Srila Prabhupada. We know Srila Prabhupada for his greatness because he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world and he, you know, made Hare Krishna a household word. But perhaps one of the greatest aspects of Srila Prabhupada's life is that here was a person who was followed morning to evening, day after day, for 11 years in a row. Everything he said, Everything he wrote, every act was videoed and recorded, and he was never found to be hypocritical. Now that is amazing. What to speak of 11 years? If someone would do that with us for 11 days, would we pass the test? In two conversations, if people recorded with two different people, already we'd be found to be duplicitous. In two different situations, one under pressure and one under this pressure, we'd be found to be duplicitous. But Srila Prabhupada was just the same person. When he was behind closed doors by himself, when he was with his close associates, and when he was in public, the same person. When Srila Prabhupada was alone in Radha Damodar and he knew no one and he was a lone mendicant, he was the same person as when he came back to Radha Damodar as a world acharya and sat in that very same room and did the very same thing. In Chaupati, there was one devotee, Srinathji Prabhu, and he talked about how he was a follower of an impersonal guru, and then he found out about Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada, as we know, had no mercy on the Mayavadis. So he told Srinathji Prabhu in no uncertain terms that you're following the wrong person. And so Srinathji Prabhu, he said, I heard Prabhupada and I thought he's convinced that I'm following the wrong person. So let's see what about him then. So he said, for 7 years, I watched this person. And he said, I'm a businessman. We know how to provoke people. We know how to confuse people. We know how to compromise people. And he said, I just saw that there was a complete integrity in everything he did. He was never found to be duplicitous. And therefore, I realized this is a sadhu. It's not possible otherwise. So, integrity is such an important quality because we live in a time in which there's so much distrust. There's so much skepticism. They say leaders do questionable things and followers question everything. So from both sides, there's huge difficulty in putting faith in anyone or anything. And so perhaps the greatest service that each one of us can do, aside from our main services, is just to be exemplary. Being exemplary is an incredible service because it's the only service which is universal. Anyone can do it. You don't need a great voice. You don't need super intelligence. You don't need to be a mastermind in any particular ability. Being exemplary is a universal service. Everyone can do it. The other amazing thing is that being exemplary is a powerful service because everyone will appreciate it. Other services you do, like sometimes you're like, yeah, I liked your class. Nah, I didn't really like it. Some people might like it, some people might not. But being exemplary is something that everyone will appreciate. Being exemplary is a service that can be done at every moment. Other services, you need a particular space or a particular arrangement, but to be exemplary, you can just do that all the time. And being exemplary is a service that will never be taken away from you. Can never be taken away from you. Other services last for a certain amount of time and then they move on. Therefore, Damodar Pandit, by raising this point with Mahaprabhu about integrity, is reminding us that this is perhaps one of our biggest responsibilities. People judge the Hare Krishna movement not by the philosophy, actually. They judge our movement not by the public statements that we make so much, but they judge the movement by their encounter with every single person who says, I'm part of this movement. It's amazing. Jayananda Prabhu was such a great devotee. And he used to go to places and connect with people, even people who are inimical with Krishna consciousness, and he conquered them with love. And he used to go to this place to get the Rath Yatra permits, and there was this lady, and she was always against the devotees and always inimical, aggressive. But Jayananda Prabhu would just charm her. He was just so kind, he was so compassionate, just such a shining example of love. Anyway, he would win her over. And then finally, of course, we know Jayananda Prabhu left the world. And the year after he left, the devotees went to the very same place to get the permit from this lady. So the lady was like, "Where is he?" It's like, "Who?" It's like, "Johnny Ananda." "Johnny Ananda? Oh, Jayananda. Yes, where is he? He used comes every year." And then the devotee said, No, he passed away." And this lady, who was so inimical, she was so aggressive, she just broke down crying. And she said, "He was the nicest person I ever met in my life." And then she looked at the devotee and she said, "I don't know who you guys are. I don't know what you follow. I don't know what your philosophy is. But if he's with you, you guys must be good." And I think that's just such an amazing service, that if people look at you and just think, "Wow, this person is different," that is actually the greatest service. And that's what Damodar Pandit is teaching us, that this integrity, this complete purity, in a world where everyone's compromised, in a world where everyone says one thing and does another, in a world which is riddled with hypocrisy, if the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement can have that integrity and people see that we're actually different, this is actually one of the most beautiful things. So the first thing we learn from Damodar Pandit is the incredible need for integrity in our own lives. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Now, what we also learn from Damodar Pandit is, as Prabhupada says, "Fools rush in where angels fear to tread." And therefore, Srila Prabhupada also says that Damodar Pandit transgressed etiquette, because he was finding faults, even though it was coming from a good place. He said he was finding faults in someone who was not meant to be the object of his criticism. Now, this is, again, a very, very deep teaching, because one thing is our own integrity, but then another thing is the integrity of everyone else around us, and how it makes us feel when we feel someone else's integrity has become compromised. How do we react to that? How do we respond to that? There's the famous story of the king and the eagle. You know that one, right? Once there was a very charitable king, and what he decided to do was serve everyone in the kingdom free bowls of khichdi, as they say, the poor man's feast. So he was handing out bowls of khichdi out of the goodness of his heart. And as he was handing out bowls of khichdi, of course, people are sometimes suspicious. Like, if someone starts giving you something for free, already like, what do they want? So anyway, but they were accepting the bowls of khichdi. As he was handing out one bowl of khichdi, an eagle flew above, and the eagle had just caught its khichdi, which was a snake. So the eagle had a snake in its mouth, and as it was strangling the snake was almost like just gasping for its life, and as it was gasping, some of its poison came out. So the eagle came over, holding the snake's poison came out, and you know where it landed, right? Boom. In the khichdi bowl, unknown to anyone's eyes. And as it was seamlessly like that, The king gave that khichdi bowl to someone, they ate it, died. So Yamaraj arrives on the spot. Karma paramedics. So Yamaraj, they all arrive on the spot. Someone's dead. What happened? He ate the khichdi full of poison. Who is responsible? Someone has to get the karma for this. So they looked at the king. They said, he's the one that gave out the khichdi. He should get the karma. No, no. But the king was kind. He only had good motivation. He was only trying to serve. How can you give him the karma? Okay, back to the drawing board. Well, the person died because of the poison. So the snake should get the karma. No, no, but the snake, that God put that poison in its body. It couldn't make any choice, and it was gasping for its breath. What could it do? The poison just came out. No bad intention. Oh, God. Back to the drawing board. The ego should get the karma, because the ego was fine. But what did the ego? It was just finding its own. Everyone has to survive. Jivo, jivasya, jivanam. Every living entity is food for another. It's just doing it. Yamaraj and his attendants are like, we better figure someone out or we're going to end up taking the karma ourselves, you know. This is like baffling. And then in the distance, there was a lady. And the lady was shouting, I knew that king. I knew he was false. I knew it all along. He was just out to do this, criticizing. Yamaraj and his attendants said, okay, we found our person. Give her the karma. The critics take the karma. It's a very, very interesting story because it's somewhat a microcosm of life. The world is complex. Situations are complex. Things happen and transpire beyond our logical understanding. And we stand sometimes as bystanders and try to figure it all out in one stroke. And then we make a strong opinion. And then we put that out there in the ether. All I can say, be careful. Because life is complex. People are complex. Situations are complex. And therefore, Mahaprabhu through Damodar Pandit is teaching us, don't be too quick, because the critic may end up getting the karma. We've all been in that situation where sometimes if you move this way, someone will criticize. And if you move this way, someone will criticize. And if you don't move anywhere, someone will criticize. But why don't you do something? It's funny, there's this story where a man was selling fish. So he put up a sign, fresh fish sold here. So someone came up to him. He said, you fool, we can smell your fish from miles away. You don't need to say fresh fish sold here. Just take the fresh out. It's clear, man. We can smell it. So he rubbed out the fresh. Another man came. He said, you fool. Fish sold here. I mean, there's nothing else on your table apart from fish. Of course you're selling fish. Just get rid of that. So he rubbed that out. Sign. Sold here. So another person goes, you fool. We're in a market. Of course you're selling something. Everyone's selling something here. You don't need to write sold. So he rubbed that out. Here. So another person came. He goes, you fool, of course you're here. You don't need to tell us. So he rubbed out here. So now he's got an empty sign. Someone else comes. He goes, you fool, you got an empty sign here. Write something. Utilize it. This is what happens. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You're damned if you go this way, you're damned if you go that way. So we have to be very, very careful because things are multidimensional. So it's very interesting because here,
Prabhupada says Damodar Pandey is a staunch lover of Mahaprabhu. And then in the very next line, Prabhupada says Damodar Pandey was impudent. That means you can be coming from a very, very good space, but it doesn't mean you're necessarily doing the right thing. So we have to be very, very careful in finding faults. There's a in Shubhashita, there's a nice verse. It says, it's a goldsmith. It's the gold talking to the goldsmith. And the goldsmith is playing the role of a fault finder. And so the gold says to the goldsmith, you just keep throwing me in fire. In other words, just you keep throwing criticism at me. Metaphorically, he says to the gold, you keep throwing me in fire. And all that happens is I become even more resplendent and you become even more covered with soot. That's what happens to a critic. This happened when Gopal Chappal tried to defame Srivas Thakur. All that happened is Srivas Thakur became more famous and Gopal Chappal became exposed. So this is very, very difficult because we live in a time when sometimes we feel the need to speak out, to say something, to redress something that's wrong. And this is very, very nuanced. You know, I can't sit here and tell you what to do in every single situation. We also have a responsibility if there's something which needs to be addressed. But it should be done very, very carefully. Because Mahaprabhu is teaching through Damodar Pandit that fault-finding mentality, judgmental mentality, critical mentality, very, very dangerous. If you want a sure way to spoil your spiritual journey, it's by getting too much into that. At the same time, in our hearts and minds, we think, can I just stand by and not do anything? But what if something needs to be said? So it's very difficult. So we have to know when to speak, when not to speak. And how do you know? It's hard. One devotee once said to me, I asked him, how do you know when to speak out against a fault and when not to? He said, I could give you many answers, but just one thing you may want to check is when you hear someone's fault, does it excite you? Or does it make your heart drop in compassion? If it excites you, if it's something which somehow brings some, you know, enthusiastic energy to your heart that now I find a fault in someone, then he said, maybe you're not the person to address it. And maybe if you hear someone's fault, if it makes your heart drop and think, why do they have to go through that? It's not good for them. I wish they can be better. I wish they can do better. If that's the first reaction, he said, maybe you're the right person to address the fault. So nowadays, failing as I am, try to use that measure because, yes, it must be done very, very carefully in a world where we see kaler dosha nidhe rajan, an ocean of faults. So Damodar Pandey is very, very interesting. Number one, he teaches us in our own life we should be above suspicion. We should try and embody integrity. And when it comes to others, we should be free from suspicion. That doesn't mean we don't raise things, it doesn't mean we don't address, but we should not disproportionately involve ourselves in affairs in which we don't know the full story and the full dimensions of everything. And so Mahaprabhu is saying, I'm not ready to meet Prataparudra because Damodar Pandey may say something. And in this way, Mahaprabhu is teaching us he loves Damodar Pandey, and at the same time, Damodar Pandey is doing something not exactly right. Okay, so I think I've opened up a topic which
is very nuanced, but very, very important. So I thought, let me leave more time for discussion, for questions, for answers, questions, answers, maybe, comments. So I don't know if anyone would like to ask anything or comment. Yes.
Maharaj, thank you very much for the wonderful class. I just want to take your permission to talk 2 minutes about Srinathji Prabhu.
Yeah,
is
sure.
Okay?
Sure.
So you said that he was a businessman. So just for the audience who has come for the class, I want to say something. Is that okay, Maharaj?
Yes, yes.
So Srinathji Prabhu was also a NASA scientist before the businessman, what you said. He was the head of the trajectory for the landing of the moon project.
Oh, wow.
And he wrote a book also on that later on when Prabhupada met him and he became from Chinmayanand mission he came to ISKCON and he wrote a book after that. It was We Never Landed on the Moon. So that book was written by him.
Okay.
Dr. Narendra Desai.
Okay.
And then there is another story how Chopati came into being. So he was in his home in Nepean Sea Road and there was a knock on his door at 2 a.m. in the morning. And there was some people who were outside his door at 2 a.m. in the morning and they asked him that we want to discuss something very important with you. And then they said that there is a trust deed and we want to discuss about that. And it was about LNHO, Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage. And then they said that you're the right person to be the chairperson. And will you be able to accept this? And then he accepted it. And then he read through the treaty and the charter, what is mentioned. So it was mentioned that there should be a temple of Radha Krishna, wherein the orphanage boys can get parents, Radha and Krishna. Then you talked to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj over the phone and asked him that is it possible for creating a temple over here? Mm. And then Chopati came into being.
Haripo, Srinathji Prabhu ki. Thank you so much for sharing. Beautiful. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. Earlier you mentioned that as devotees we should aim to be exemplary. If possible, could you just elaborate what this looks like in terms of our day-to-day life? Like, how can we be exemplary as a person?
Practice what you preach, walk your talk, example before precept. Your life should be your message. Assisi said, I preach all day, I preach 7 days a week, I preach 365 days of the year, and now and again I say something. In other words, just think of that statement. I don't know who you guys are, I don't know your philosophy, but if he's with you, you must be good. One devotee, when I joined, one devotee said to me, if you went out without these clothes, as in not without any clothes, but in normal clothes, kami clothes. and people just observed you. Would they be able to see that you're a monk? Would you be functioning in a significantly more saintly way than other people? That's the real measure. So they asked Prabhupada, how do you know who's a Vaishnava? Prabhupada says he's a perfect gentleman. So there's a gap. There's a real gap. Pragya vadams cha bhasha she. Krishna says to Arjuna, you're speaking learned words, but your actions don't match. When Balaram came to Naimisharanya, Romaharshan Sutta was on the Vyasasan. And he was speaking very, very high philosophy, but he never showed proper respect. He never knew the etiquette. And Balaram is Guru, and he's Adi Guru. So Guru means heavy. So Balaram is Adi heavy, super heavy. So he looks at Romaharshan Sutta, Rishir Bhagavato Bhutva Shishyodhitya Bahunicha Saitihasa Puranani Dharma Shastrani Sarvasha Adantasya Vinitasya Vrita Panditamanina Nagunaya Bhavantisma Natasyeva Jitatmana. Balaram looks at Romaharshan Sutta, he says, Rishir Bhagavato Bhutva, look at you, you're the disciple of Vyasadev. Saitihasa Puranani Dharma Shastrani Sarvasha. You've understood the Itihas, the Puranas, the Dharma Shastra. You've clocked every scripture there is. Adantasya Vinitasya. But your senses are uncontrolled and you haven't learned any humility. Vrita Pandita Manina. But you think you're a pandit? Na gunaya bhavanti sma, all of your spiritual, scriptural study never awakened good qualities within you. Natasyeva jitatmana, and therefore you're just like an actor in a drama. Heavy. Na gunaya bhavanti sma, what was the result of all your scriptural study? Na gunaya. It didn't reflect in a change of heart. So Krishna consciousness has to actually transform us. Otherwise, it's just a religion. What's the difference between a religion and a genuine spiritual science? A spiritual science changes people. It changes character. It changes consciousness. It changes our orientation. And someone may say, yeah, but I didn't see people change. I didn't really see so much transformation. Maybe we're not seeing. Or maybe it is a very rare thing, but that's what it's actually meant to do. And so that's the real challenge for the Krishna consciousness movement. We can have all the strategies in the world. We can have all the best visions. We can go and create all the best managerial structures. But if at the end of the day you don't have saintly people who are actually living theology, that's what the world is looking for. And therefore, our life should be our message. Without even saying a word, people should understand, oh, this is what they're about. Tor Loda. Easy to sit here and say, Krishna, help me. I'm just thinking we go late like this, just to give a chance, and then we come back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So my question's regarding like integrity, and in my personal life right now I don't get so much devotional association just because that's how my life is at the moment, and I've kind of recognized, especially in my work role, I have like I guess like my material self and my spiritual self, and I keep that very private. And I remember when I first started my job, someone made a very passing joke about the Hare Krishnas, and I was like, oh, if only you knew. So I've decided to keep that, I guess, aspect of my life very private, but it feels like you're living two worlds sometimes, and you're living out in the world, but also, and you're living a spiritual path as well. And it's like, how do we integrate those two without, I don't know, sometimes fear of being judged or like diluting aspects of my character, my personality when I'm at work. Does that make sense?
Thank
yeah.
you. Double life. See, when we think of being a devotee in the world, we think like, I got to go out with Tilak, or I got to tell people I'm a Hare Krishna, or got to... But what about if you told people you're a devotee just by your character? Abhayam sattvasam sudir jnana yoga vyavastiti danam damascha yagyascha svadhyayas taparajavam ahimsa satyam akrodas tyagakshantirapeshanam dayabhuteshvalo luptvam mardavam re rachapalam.
These are the qualities. This is what makes you a devotee. Ahimsa, non-violent, non-aggressive, no animosity. No one's my enemy. Satyam, truthful. What you see is what you get. Straightforward, no duplicity. Akrodas, freedom from anger. Tyaga, detachment. Kshantir, ability to forgive. That's the real thing. If you go out in the world and you show that to the world, you're showing them much more than tilak. You're showing them much more than the label of being a Hare Krishna. You're showing them much more than I'm part of this institution. You're showing them what it's all really about. And if you show that, you'll conquer people's hearts. Doesn't matter who it is. Dhira, adhira, jana priyo, priyakaro, nirmatsaro, pujito. The Goswamis, everyone loved them. The dhira, the gentle, and the adhira, even the ruffians. Jayananda, everyone loved him. Everyone from the devotees in the temple to the saintly people who are well-wishers to the ruffians in the Italian market, as one person says. Everyone loved him because he had no envy. So we think being a devotee, I'm going to come out of the closet, I'm going to be a Hare Krishna, I'm going to put a photo of me with tilak on my Facebook profile. Here I am. Yeah, you can do it. And it's all good. But the real thing is, are we going to show the real substance of what a devotee is to the world? That's what we're interested in. It's like they say, I'm a leader without a title. The best leaders are the leaders without a title. Because just from their very being, people want to follow them. The title is just a confirmation. So, be a devotee without a title. People will be attracted. By the way, which movement are you part of? Oh, that's what you do. Must be good. So I think sometimes we put emphasis on the wrong things. This is what makes it a spiritual science. Otherwise, we're just preaching a religion. And the world is not interested in religion.
Hare Krishna. My question is that I feel as children or babies, we're all born to love and trust, like our caregivers and those around us. But things happen to us as we grow that may like break our trust that we see happen to others or happen to us personally. So how do we remain kind of safe and in faith without being critical of others or judgmental?
So sometimes we grow up in a situation where our trust has been damaged and we find it difficult to sometimes accept or embrace authority figures or people. So how do we avoid becoming critical? For sure, you know, it takes time to rebuild one's ability to put their heart into something and trust something. But what we do is we somehow think that by being critical, somehow or other, we're going to develop more trust. It's like, that's going to make it even worse. The point is, if we know I have trust issues, instead of concerning ourselves with everything that could cause us to doubt and then fueling that, we could say, here are 1, 2, 3 people who for me, I see purity in. Why not might just spend my time developing a relationship of trust with them? You don't need, even if you don't trust the whole world, it's probably a good thing. But you have trust in some Vaishnavas. That's all it requires. All you need is to put your trust in someone
Prashangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu saeva sadushu krito mokshadvaram apavritam. According to the Swaminarayans, this is the most important verse of Bhagavatam, they said. If one becomes attached to a saintly person, attachment to materialistic people is the greatest source of entanglement. Saeva sadushu krito, but when you transfer that attachment to a saintly person, moksha dwaram apavritam, the doors to liberation open. So it's just one Vaishnava is enough. One genuine Vaishnava, if you have trust in, who's actually divinely connected, they can open up the doors to liberation for you. So instead of concerning ourselves with every other thing in the world that's questionable, wasting our time, wasting our energy, wasting our faith away, why not just try to find some people who are actually sincere and say, like, I'm just going to try and give my heart here. Because every great Vaishnava was molded by another great Vaishnava. Nobody self-made. Okay. I see lots of... I'm confused. I don't know what to do. Okay, I'll go Govinda. And then... just trying to kind of balance, yeah. The integrity. Got it. Fear of public criticism.
Thank you for your thoughtful, stimulating class. You mentioned about the mystery of Damodar. And I just wondered what your thoughts about the mystery of Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, because he's criticized for lamenting, which is a material thing. But then in the purport, and it's purport to chapter 1, text 46, Prabhupada says,
soft-hearted.
Arjuna stood up on the chariot, but he was so afflicted with lamentation that he sat down again, setting aside his bow and arrows. Such a kind and soft-hearted person is in the devotional service of the Lord is fit to receive self-knowledge. So it seems on one hand is lamentation, we criticize it, and at the same time Prabhupada's saying it's a good thing.
Yeah. A Vaishnava must be soft-hearted. Without soft-heartedness, you can't love. Without soft-heartedness, we don't embody the necessary sensitivity to deeply connect with others. At the same time, when the Vaishnava has a task, when the Vaishnava has a duty in the world, when the Vaishnava has a dharma to perform, then one must act appropriately. So managers must have a soft heart. They must be Vaishnavas first. But then when you're in the managerial room, sometimes you also have to make strong decisions. That's also part of the expression. So therefore, to know when to employ what quality and how to express it in an appropriate way, that's wisdom. Vajradapi kathorani mriduni kusamadapi lokataranam chetam shi konu vigya tumishvara. A Vaishnava can be harder than a thunderbolt and softer than a rose. How? They are the masters of paradox. So yes, Arjuna must be soft-hearted. Otherwise, how you be a Vaishnava? You have such a hard heart. Hard-heartedness means impersonalism. Hard-heartedness means insensitivity. You'll never be able to love. But at the same time, when he's a Kshatriya, then he has to fight. So it was not appreciated in that context. All right. Maybe two more questions. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, sometimes Often, Maharaj, when you see things that are not good and you criticize it, you question it, then you hear that you are offensive. Don't make offenses, you cannot say something. How to... It's difficult.
Yes, it's difficult. If we stand by and do nothing, then we could be charged for negligence. If we stand up and say something, we can be charged for fault-finding and being critical. Therefore, as I said, one must be very, very measured in how to do it. The moment you point something out, you're putting yourself above someone, whether you like it or not. Because you're saying, I know, they don't know. So that may be necessary, but you have to understand that it's dangerous. Therefore, one has to first question, do I have all the right information? Number one. Number two, am I the right person? Number three, is this the right way? Number four, is this the right time? Once it passes through all the filters, then you turn to Krishna and you pray, I'm going ahead, please Krishna, make sure I do it with the best of motivations in a service spirit. And then maybe we'll be protected. But sometimes we just launch without that level of consideration. Years and years of austerity, chanting, study, sacrifice, service, and then impulsive acts of fault-finding, and we lose mercy. It's dangerous. It's agonizing. Someone is doing so much. And then through impulsive and instinctive words and acts, they're losing mercy. Vaishnava Parad, very careful. Dangerous. So, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Okay, that was very dramatic. I didn't mean it to be that dramatic, so calm down. I get into these dramatic modes sometimes. Or something. But it's serious. No, it's serious, it is serious. It really is. All right, I see loads of hands, but I'm just thinking it's a busy day ahead, and I know many of you are in things as well, so I think it's good to maybe stop here. Thank you so much for your kindness, for your attention. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.